I reached a special milestone this summer as I observed my 90th birthday. As you reach certain milestones in your life, it is helpful and instructive to reflect on the events and experiences of the past. You young people in the choir may not think 90 is very old in this day. All of you expect to reach that age in this day and age. But when I was born, it was a unique distinction to reach 90. Living this long is considered to be a great achievement. Every day I'm grateful to my Heavenly Father for blessing me with a long life. So much has changed in my lifetime. I've seen the development of the industrial age and the information age. Mass-produced automobiles and telephones and airplanes were great innovations in my early days. Today, the way we find, share, and use information changes almost daily. At my age, I marvel at the rapid changing world in which we live. So many of today's breakthroughs excite the imagination with their potential to better our lives. Through all the fast-paced changes occurring around us, we earnestly pray and work to ensure that the values of the gospel of Jesus Christ endure. Already some of them are in jeopardy of being lost. At the top of the list of these values, and therefore prime targets of the adversary, are the sanctity of marriage and the central importance of the family. They provide an anchor, a safe harbor of the home where each child of a loving Heavenly Father can be influenced for good and acquire eternal values. My own family anticipated the celebration of this milestone in my life and started helping me remember and appreciate the experiences of my life. For example, my niece gathered and shared with me several letters I had written to my parents nearly 70 years ago from my Marine outpost on the island of Saipan in the Pacific during World War II. One of these letters particularly caught my eye. It was a letter I wrote to my mother for her to open and be read on Mother's Day, 1945. I would like to share some excerpts with you in hopes that you will see why I will ever be grateful for a loving father and mother and for the lessons I learned from their teaching in the home. My parents are a defining example of retaining godly parents who place their marriage and the proper rearing of their children as their highest priority. My mother's dated letter, 1945, began, "Dear Mom, for the last 4 years, I've had the great misfortune of spending Mother's Day away from you. Each year, I've wanted to be with you and tell you how much I love you and how much I think of you. But since this is again impossible, I'll have to do the next best thing by sending my thoughts through the mail. This year, more than any other, I can see just what having a wonderful mother has done for me. First of all, I miss the little things you used to do for me. Whenever I got out of bed in the morning, I never had to worry about whether I'd find a clean shirt or clean socks. All I had to do was open a drawer and I would find them. At mealtime, I always knew I'd find something I liked prepared in the best possible way. At night, I always knew that I would find clean sheets on my bed and just the right amount of covers to keep me very comfortable. Living at home was really a great pleasure." When I read those first two paragraphs of the letter, I was shocked how sentimental they sounded. Perhaps living in a tent, sleeping under a mosquito net on a camp cot, had my thoughts really returning to my very special home. My letter continued, "But deeper is the feeling for you because of the example you set for me. Life was so enjoyable for us as a family that we wanted to follow in your footsteps, to continue on through the experiences, the same joys we had enjoyed in our younger days. You always found time to take the family to the canyon. We could count on you doing anything from climbing mountains to playing ball with us. You and Dad would never go on vacations alone. The family was always with you. Now that I'm away from home, I always like to talk about my home life because it was so enjoyable. I couldn't turn from your teachings now because my actions would reflect on your character. Life is a great challenge to me to be worthy to be called the son of Nora Sawney Perry. I'm very proud of this title. I hope I'll always be worthy of it. I hope the next year finds me with you to show you the good time I plan to show you on Mother's Day for the past 4 years. May the Lord bless you with all of the wonderful things you've done for this troubled world. Signed, all my love, Tom. As I reread my letter, I also reflected on the culture of the family, the ward, the stake, the community in which I was raised. Culture is defined as a way of life of a people. There is a unique gospel culture, a set of values and expectations and common practices of all the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This gospel culture, or way of life, comes from the plan of salvation, the commandments of God, and the teachings of living prophets. It is given expression in the way we raise our families and live our individual lives. The first instruction to Adam for his mortal responsibility is found in Genesis. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The joining together of a man and woman to be legally and lawfully wed not only is preparation for the future generations to inherit the earth, but it also brings the greatest joy and satisfaction that can be found in this mortal experience. This is especially true when the powers of the priesthood proclaim marriage to be for time and for all eternity. Children born under such a marriage have the security that is found nowhere else. Lessons taught in homes by godly parents are becoming increasingly important in today's world, where the influence of the adversary is so widespread. As we know, he is attempting to erode and destroy the very foundation of our society, the family. In clever and carefully camouflaged ways, he is attacking commitments to family life throughout the world and undermining the culture and covenants of faithful Latter-day Saints. Parents must resolve that teaching in the home is the most sacred and important responsibility. While other institutions such as the church and school can assist parents to train up a child in the way he or she should go, this responsibility ultimately rests on the parents. According to the great plan of happiness, it is godly parents who are entrusted with the care and development of our Heavenly Father's children. In our remarkable parental stewardship, there are many ways that godly parents can access the help and support they need to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ to their children. Let me suggest 5 things parents can do to create stronger family cultures. First, parents can pray in earnest that our eternal Father will help them love, understand, and guide their children he has sent them. Second, they can hold family home evenings, scripture study, family home evenings, and eat together as often as possible, making dinner time a time of communication and the teaching of values. Third, parents can fully avail themselves of the church support network, communicating with their children's primary teachers, youth leaders, class and quorum presidencies. By communicating with those who are called and set apart to work with their children, parents can provide essential understanding of a child's special and specific needs. Fourth, parents can share their testimonies often with their children. committing them to keep the commandments of God and promise the blessings that our Father in heaven promises his faithful children. Fifth, we can organize our families based on clear, simple family rules and expectations, wholesome family traditions and rituals, and family economics, where children have household responsibilities and can earn allowance so that they can learn to budget, save, and pay tithing on the money they earn. These suggestions for creating stronger family cultures work in tandem with the culture of the church. Our strengthened family cultures will be a protection for our children from the fiery darts of the adversary embedded in their peer cultures, the entertainment and celebrity cultures, the credit and entitlement cultures, and the internet and media cultures to which they're exposed constantly. It will help our children live in the world and not become of the world. President Joseph Fielding Smith taught, "It is the duty of parents to teach their children these saving principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they will know why they are to be baptized and that they may be impressed in their hearts with the desire to continue to keep the commandments of God after they are baptized, that they may come back into his presence. Do you, my good brothers and sisters, want your families, your children? Do you want them to be sealed to your fathers and mothers before you? If so, then you must begin to teach at the cradle side. You are to teach by example as well as precept." The Proclamation to the Family states, "Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness, to provide for their physical and spiritual needs, to teach them to love and serve one another, to observe the commandments of God, and to be law-abiding citizens wherever they live. By divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide the necessities of life and the protection of their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurturing of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. I believe it is by divine design that the role of motherhood emphasizes the nurturing and teaching of this next generation. But it is wonderful to see husbands and wives who have worked out a real partnership where they blend together their influence and communications effectively, both about their children and to their children. The onslaught of wickedness against our children is more subtle and brazen than it has ever been. Building a strong family culture adds another layer of protection for our children, insulating them from worldly influences. God bless you, goodly mothers and fathers in Zion. He's entrusted to your care his eternal children. As parents, we partner, even join with God, to bring to pass his work and his glory among his children. It is our sacred duty to do our very best. Of this I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.